Morning. I'm Glenn Mays from the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences and chair of the Department of Health Policy and Management there. And I'm one of those weird people trained in health economics who've decided to go in and really dedicate my career to looking at issues of public health practice in our public health delivery system rather than our medical care system, which is a small but growing proportion or share of the health econ research and the more generally the health services research area that we're. So I'm certainly excited to be working in this area and encouraged about the progress being made here. Talk to you about some research that I've been doing recently, looking at public health spending patterns, resources we're investing in public health services, and how that relates to health outcomes. This is research that's funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation through their HICFO initiative, Changes in Healthcare Financing and Organization initiative. Also want to recognize the National Association for County and City Health Officials that provided much of the data that I'm using for this presentation today, and in particular Carolyn Leap at NHO was very helpful in helping us get access to that data and helping us use it appropriately. And then also want to recognize my colleague and co-conspirator Charlotte Smith, also from the University of Arkansas. So we're all familiar with this slide. We've seen variants of this comparing how we're doing in the U.S. with healthcare spending related to our pure countries, industrialized countries, looking at spending there on the right-hand axis, and then our measure of outcomes or life expectancy on the left-hand side. And obviously, we're far and away spending more resources than any other country, but if you look at our outcomes, we're really toward the end of that distribution in terms of life expectancy or other measures of health outcomes. And so the question is why this discrepancy between what we're spending and what we're getting out of that expenditure in terms of health outcomes. A lot of a lot of factors likely go into this discrepancy, but one of the factors that we've looked at and that a number of investigators and policymakers have called attention to is this issue of how we're allocating our resources. And in particular, perhaps we are underspending on public health services, population-based activities that are designed to prevent disease and control risk at a population level. And our best estimates suggest that nationally we're only spending 3%, maybe 5% at most, depending on the data sources you use. Most of our spending is going to those public health-related activities, and the vast majority of our resources going into medical care. And so, is this part of that discrepancy that we see? Also, certainly, if we look over time, we all know that there's been a rapid escalation in our personal health care spending or our medical care spending over time, and these are all we're looking at in real dollars that you can see on the left-hand axis showing you our trends in personal health care spending. But then on the right-hand axis, this is our estimates of local public health agency spending over the same period of time in real dollars, again, relatively flat. So we're not seeing, while we're increasing our investments in the medical care side, our investments in public health services, in this case local public health services, have been relatively flat over time. If we again look at the literature that has studied, the returns from our investments in medical care, it suggests that certainly there have been benefits to this rapid increase in spending. This is a paper that David Cutler published last year in New England Journal of Medicine, suggesting again that about half of all the gains we've realized in reductions in mortality, gains in life expectancy, have been due to or are attributable to medical care. That implies that, okay, what's the other half due to? Is public health responsible for that? And based on those projections, he estimated that our medical care investments, the cost-effectiveness ratio has been about $31,000, $32,000 per year of life gain, which is not bad. It suggests that we are realizing some benefits from those expenditures in medical care. But again, that raises the question of, okay, so what benefit are we getting from our investments in public health? And could we be realizing additional gains in health outcomes through more targeted investments in public health activities? So all this motivated our research question, which is, we certainly have seen some changes in local public health spending, and we see a lot of variation cross-sectionally, a variation across communities in how much communities spend on public health activities. So to what extent are those changes in local public health spending within a community over time associated with changes in health outcomes? and what can that tell us about our current and future investment strategies for in public health activities. The data we're using for this analysis primarily rely, again, on the data from collected by the National Association of County and City Health Officials. They have done national census surveys of the national population of local governmental public health agencies over time, collecting data on their expenditures and also key data on their institutional characteristics. And we use three ways of that survey data, 93, 97, up through 2005. So we have about a 13-year period of observation over time, linking those observations over time. We also merge in data from several other sources to control for other important characteristics. We construct a measure of residual state spending on public health activities from the annual Census Bureau surveys, U.S. Census surveys of governments. We construct an estimate of residual federal public health spending at the community level using annual data from the Consolidated Federal Funds Report, and then we merge in data on community characteristics and health resources from the Area Resource File. Our key dependent variables of interest are for this analysis and this presentation, are mortality data. We selected several mortality measures that we expect to be sensitive to, responsive to public health activities, particularly those activities that are delivered by the vast majority of local public health agencies. So those include the measures we use are infant mortality. We throw in a measure of total mortality, and then we have several cause-specific mortality measures for causes, again, amenable to public health action. These are primarily chronic disease, heart disease mortality, cancer, diabetes, and then an influenza mortality measure. So in total, six mortality measures that we look at in this analysis. Our key independent variables of interest primarily is our measure of local public health spending, which we measure on a per capita basis, local per capita spending on public health services from all sources. We also then have two additional measures of residual spending that we use really as control variables to be able to isolate the effect of the local spending measure, a measure of residual state spending and on public health activities, and a measure of residual federal spending. The key problem here, and this is where the econometrics and the health economics comes into play, is that this is an observational study, and in particular the problem that we have is we know that for many of our funding mechanisms, federal and state, are designed to try to target resources to communities that have the greater need or greater disease burden. And so we have this purposive funding allocation mechanism that are steering resources to communities with greater need and disease burden. And so if we're not careful, we may end up making incorrect inferences about the effect of spending on population health. If we're steering more resources to communities with larger health problems, we may make an incorrect inference about that relationship between spending and health. So this is what we call, in economics, a selection bias or endogeneity bias. And our solution we use here are a combination of fixed effects regression, taking advantage of the longitudinal data, and also instrumental variables analysis. The key with instrumental variables analysis is we need to identify an exogenous source of variation in public health spending that's unrelated to the outcomes of interest, unrelated to mortality, something that affects how much a community spends on public health services is going to be independent of those mortality measures. And fortunately, we are able to, and the trick to using this kind of method for those of you in this field know that is finding those instruments, finding those variables that work in this way. We did find a good one that works for our purposes, which is an indicator of the presence of a local board of health with policymaking authority. It turns out there is we've got a fairly good literature from prior studies documenting that we see higher levels of spending, ceteris paribus, in communities that have these local boards of health with policymaking authority, and there are reasons you can imagine for why that's the case in terms of gaining political support and expertise that at the local level that can be used to garner more resources into public health. And so this instrumental variables method, the nice thing it does for us is it controls for all those unmeasured factors that we can't observe with our data set that are likely to influence spending patterns simultaneously with health outcomes and would otherwise bias our estimates of how spending affects outcomes. So we use hierarchical multivariate regression models, and for the economists in the room here, our equations, it's a two-equation approach where we first estimate factors that predict spending levels in each community. controlling for agency characteristics, community characteristics, and state characteristics. We then use estimates from that first equation, that spending equation, to then estimate the effect of spending on health outcomes using the instrumental variables approach. And we're using logarithmic specifications because of the skewness in both our spending variables and in our outcome variables. Again, we use a fixed effects, community level fixed effects model to control for time invariant, unobserved characteristics of communities that are driving differences in spending levels and differences in health outcomes. So these long-standing differences between communities in disease rates and burden, in socioeconomic determinants of health, we're controlling for those kind of factors through our community level fixed effects in these equations. These are some of the other variables in the model we use as control variables. Again, characteristics of the public health agency, characteristics of the communities, and then some state characteristics as well, focusing on insurance coverage and Medicaid generosity. So this is what our dependent variable, or our key independent variable, looks like in terms of the local public health spending variable. Again, we see a lot of variation across communities. Some communities spending less than $1 per capita on public health agencies, other communities spending more than $200 per capita on public health agencies. The Gini coefficient of inequality is about 0.47, which is about equal to the Gini coefficient that we construct for personal income in the United States. So we see about as much inequality in public health spending as we see in overall income inequality in the United States, and in a high level if we look at, you know, compared to other countries. Here's what we see in terms of change in local public health spending across communities, again, over our 13-year period of study. And as you can see, you know, the majority of communities did experience a small increase in spending over this period. About 65% of jurisdictions experienced an increase. The modal increase was at less than $3 per capita. But we also see a sizable number of jurisdictions that experienced reductions in public health spending over time, again, in real dollars, about 35%. So there is a lot of both cross-sectional variation in spending as well as longitudinal change in spending over time. So how does this relate to health outcomes? This slide shows the results from that first equation, looking at factors associated with the level of spending in the community. Our primary instrumental variable of interest I mentioned is listed up there first. This is just showing you that, yes, in communities that have a local board of health with policymaking authority, we do see significantly higher levels of public health spending, about 14% higher spending levels in communities with these boards than communities without them. We also see that spending varies significantly with population size, income, local tax burden, health resources, and also the scope of services offered by the local health department. These are interesting results, but not of primary interest here, so I'm going to skip through them very quickly. And again, we primarily, in this application, use these results now in the instrumental variables analysis to come up with an unbiased estimate of how spending affects mortality. And that's what we see in this slide. I'm showing you results both from a single equation model, which is just kind of a standard regression model that doesn't adjust for this targeted this selection bias in spending. And that's the red bars show you that those unadjusted estimates. And the green bars show you our estimates from our instrumental variables model, where we're controlling for this selection of spending, this targeting of spending to communities in need. And what we find, again, with the single equation models, we do find significant effects, a significant relationship between spending and mortality for at least four of these six mortality measures. But as you can see, the effects are relatively modest, relatively small in magnitude in those red bars. When we adjust for this endogeneity of spending, as we do with the models that are shown in the green bars, we see much larger effects of spending on mortality, and they're all in the hypothesized direction. Communities that experienced larger increases in spending over this 13-year period experienced larger reductions in mortality. The largest effects we observed were for infant mortality, a 10% increase in local public health spending associated with more than a 6% reduction in infant mortality. Also large effects for heart disease mortality, diabetes, and cancer mortality. The effects for influenza and then the all-cause mortality rate were much smaller and were not statistically significant, or not statistically different from zero in these models. And in part, that's because of the large standard errors that you can see there in the vertical bars with instrumental variables models. Those of you know in the audience who work with these models know the downside is they're much less precise. We get large standard errors associated with our estimates, and so for influenza and all-cause mortality, we can't reject the null hypothesis of no effect because of that large standard error. But again, we see large and significant effects for four of these six mortality measures. And these four measures where we see the effects are all measures where the vast majority of local public health departments are delivering services that are responsive to these areas. Again, more than 90% of local health departments offer maternal and child health services. More than 75% of local health departments nationally offer programs that are targeting risk factors for heart disease and diabetes and cancer screening. So we would expect to see larger effects in these areas because of the these are areas where agencies are offering a lot of programmatic support. So in summary, we do see obviously that spending varies widely across communities. Spending on public health services, similar to the variation we see in medical care services. We also see that communities with higher spending experience lower mortality from leading preventable causes of death. And these effects are significant in magnitude. I mean, these are of public health significance as well as statistical significance, suggesting that we, for communities that are investing in public health services, there's a positive return on investment. These results also imply that differences in public health resources across communities may be contributing in important ways to the differences and disparities in health outcomes that we observe here. Again, we know there's wide variation in public health investments across communities, and that variation may explain some of the differences in health outcomes that we see across communities. Again, for the economists in the audience, if we take these results and apply them transform them into a cost-effectiveness ratio, these results that we find imply a cost per life year gained of about between $12,000 and $25,000 per additional life gained. Again, for the investments in local public health services. So our cost-effectiveness ratios here are actually quite a bit smaller than what I just showed you earlier from David Cutler's estimate of the medical care cost-effectiveness ratio. His estimate was more in the area of about $35,000 per additional life year saved. So these estimates imply that public health investments are perhaps more cost effective on average, and we are looking at average effects here, and when compared to our investments in medical care spending. And we also find certainly this evidence that there is this targeting of funds to communities with the greatest needs. And if we don't take into account that targeting of public health funds to communities with greatest needs through a method like instrumental variables analysis, we are likely to draw incorrect inferences about the effectiveness of public health spending on health outcomes. I'll mention, obviously, there are some important limitations to bear in mind, one of which we're certainly estimating here just average effects of public health spending across communities. We're not able to look at specific investments in specific types of programmatic areas like obesity or cancer or heart disease spending in particular. I'm looking at an average spending effect across all of the programs and services that local public health agencies deliver. If I had more detailed spending estimates, if I had public health expenditures measures available for specific programmatic areas, it's likely that we'd even potentially be able to find larger effects here. Because part of the effect, these are average effects, and so we're seeing some averaging out of the impact here. And I think this calls attention to our need for better data in public health about what we're spending specifically in programmatic areas so that we can monitor over time, develop more precise estimates of cost effectiveness, and then monitor over time to make sure that we're making the wisest possible investments in public health. So thank you very much.